I've already given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. So what else is there? If God has already given unto us everything that pertains to life, what does that mean? Everything that is required for you and I to live a righteous, holy life,
yes.
God said, I've already given to you.
Yes.
Well, what do we need? We need housing, we need clothing, we need transportation, we need food, we need health, we need peace, we need joy. God said, I've already given it to you.
Yes.
I've already given it to you. You see, what determines what we experience or what we have is our attitude.
Amen.
What's your attitude? You see, there's a lot of Christians that got poor attitudes. My name is Jimmy. I take all you can give me. No, that's not how God works. God tells you and I, we need to be doers of the word. You want to be blessed? You want to have peace? You want to have joy? You want to have prosperity? You want to have health? Then do what the word of God says. And so what we need to understand is we need to prepare ourselves. One, to continue the work that we've seen him do, that we've read in his word that he has done. Healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, caring about the poor, taking care of the widows and orphans. We need to be doing what we've seen him do. Okay? So we have to be prepared to do that. How many of you know that when you first become a Christian, you didn't know anything about how to do what God intended for us to do? We had to learn. And that's why the Word of God says that when we first get born again, we need the sincere milk of the Word in order to grow thereby. But then it goes on, and the writer of Hebrews says, well, now you're at the age, spiritually speaking, where you need to set aside the milk and get on to the meat. You need to be able to digest some of the deeper things. And what is that? I'll tell you what that is. That is when you and I begin to understand that there are sacrifices that God intends for us to make.
Amen.
And we're going to look at some verses of Scripture, and I'll explain it to you as we go through. Amen?
Amen.
But we need to understand we got work to do.
Amen.
We've got work to do, and also we need to be prepared for his return. Because he says that he's going to come like a thief in the night. And folks, there's not going to be time then. You can't sit back on your laurels and say, well, you know, I'll do it that day. No, you don't know when that day or hour is. The Word of God goes on to say, if the strong man knew when the thief was going to come, he'd be ready for it. But because he doesn't know when he's going to come, he needs to prepare because he could come today.
Amen.
You ever stop and think about that? I'll tell you where our minds are. Our minds is on ourselves. I guarantee you some of your minds right now is on what you're going to have for lunch, where you're going to go for lunch. You're sitting there and you think, well, I hope preacher don't go real long because, you know, all the Baptists would beat us there if we would have to wait in line. But you see, you need to look at it like this. If I keep you long enough, they'll be in there and out, and their restaurant will be empty. Then you won't have to wait in line. That's right. See, that's what's called preparing.
Amen.
Are you ready to get into the Word?
Amen.
Open your Bibles to Matthew. Glory to God. It's good to have everyone here. Appreciate y'all coming out. Those of you watching on the live stream, praise God. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Talking about John the Baptist here. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you, look at this, with with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Yeah.
His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
Amen.
Now here in Matthew chapter 3, Matthew's talking about John the Baptist preparing the way for the first coming of Jesus Christ. John is preaching repentance. John went about declaring, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen? Well, guess what? Same message today.
Amen.
Repent, for the kingdom of God is closer today than it was when John the Baptist was preaching about it. But listen to me, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not coming. In fact, believe me,
it's coming.
It's coming. All the signs are in place. And we are closer today than we have ever been to the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But my concern is, are you ready? Are you ready? You see, your mind needs, the Word of God tells us, that our minds need to be stayed on Him.
Amen.
Where is your mind? It's very easy in this world that we live in to become distracted and moved off center.
Amen.
See, Jesus Christ should be the center of our life.
Amen.
He's not at the top of the list. Okay? He's not number one or number two. He is the center.
Amen.
And if we're going to be prepared, we have to make sure we keep Jesus Christ the center of our life. Well, what do we mean by keeping Him the center of our life? Everything that we do say and conduct ourselves needs to be centered around Jesus Christ. Well, let's break that on down. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, talking about Jesus Christ. So now we've got an understanding that when we say Jesus Christ is the center of our life, what are we talking about? We're talking about the Word. Because He is the Word. In the book of Revelation, it tells us He has a name on His hip. And that name is the Word. He is the Word. He is the Word. And so when we're talking about having Jesus Christ as the center of our life, and we're talking about preparing ourselves, we have to prepare ourselves by making sure that the Word of God is the center of our life. We're not focused on our finances. We're not focused on our grandkids. We're not focused on our spouse. We're not focused on our home. We're not focused on our boat. We're not focused on any earthly things, because all those earthly things are temporary. And none of them is going with you when you go. Our minds need to be stayed on eternal things. And the only thing that is eternal is those things that are of God. Thank God that you and I, if you are born again, you and I are now eternal. Because we belong to God. And everything that belongs to God is eternal. Do you understand that? And so when we prepare ourselves, our mindset has to be, I've been changed to an eternal being that belongs to God.
Amen.
So now I'm no longer my own. Paul said, I died, and now it's Christ that lives in me. I'm just a vessel that Christ moves around the earth. Guess what? So are you.
Amen.
You may not know that, but you are. You are His eyes, His mouth, His ears, His hands. See, people say, well, I'm waiting on God to do something. Well, I got news for you. God's in you. You need to be doing. We are the instruments of God. We are His vessel. Just like you and I get in a car to go from here to there, Jesus is in us. And He intends for us to move Him around. To do the work that He did. See, and when He says, greater things shall ye do, really that's a poor translation. What it should be, more things. Why? Because there's more of us. We're never going to do greater than him. We can just do more than him. Why? Because what's the word I'm looking for? Constrained to a geographical area that was not that large. Okay? But you and I, now through media, transportation, we can go anywhere. We can go all over the world. In fact, we're going all over the world right now because we're on the World Wide Web. So we're going to the whole world right now. See? So God is saying to us, we're going to do more than he did because there's more of us and we have the capabilities to reaching farther than he had. But we have to understand it's still him that's doing it. It's not us. We can't do anything. Jesus told us that himself. Did he not? He said, without me, you can do nothing. But with me, you can do all things. You can do all things. And so in preparing ourselves, mainly what we're dealing with is preparing our minds to be focused and centered on the Word of God. Because the Word is God. And so if he's going to be the center of our life, that Word is what he gave us to represent him. So we take the Word of God and we share that and we go forth. Now then, all of us, the Word of God tells us, all of us are to be fruit producers. In fact, the Word of God even goes, says, a bad tree produces bad fruit, but a good tree produces good fruit. So there's a definition there that defines who we are. Are we a good tree or are we a bad tree? You see, because everything you say and everything that you do, people are watching, people are listening, and it's producing what you said. Because the Word of God tells us that God said his words produce after their kind. Well, guess what? So does ours. And so if we are always negative, if we are always, you know, downtrodden, if we're always talking about what we don't have, rather than what we do have. See, I look at it like this. I got everything. And the reason I got everything, because the Creator who created everything is in me. And so if there's something I need that's not there, he just created. Because he's my source. He's my supply. He is Jehovah Jireh. My provider. He provides all. What did he say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Well, if you go back up a few verses, you can read down. He says, even the world needs these things. He says, I know you need these things. You need clothing, you need housing, you need food, you need this, you need that. He says, if you just seek my kingdom and my righteousness, he said, I'll give you all these things. You see, but we want to help God. We want to help God. We're helpful people. We really want to help God. And so we try to get these things and then say, look what God does for me. When in fact, see, and this is what a lot of Christians fail to understand. You can obtain things on your own. You can do that. But it's a whole different story when God gives it to you. And very few people are to the place in their faith to truly trust God for everything. Now listen to me, I'm going to share some things with you that's personal. I go around, you know, I've said this, I've told most of you this, most of you heard this. Pastor Terry has beautiful handwriting. And so I have her write out cards. What are they, about 6x4, 5x7, something like that. And if you come to my house, you see them, they're everywhere. I'm out of debt. All my needs are met. I have plenty more to put in store. Every time I see that, I say that.
Amen.
Because the Word of God says I can have what I say. Another one. I'm in covenant with the God that is more than enough. Therefore, I increase in every good thing. I say that. Every time I see that card, I read that. I say that out loud. Why? Because the Word of God says I can have what I say. So I just keep declaring the promises of God.
Amen.
That's why they're pasted all over the house. Because those are the promises of God. And God said, if I'll be faithful, He'll give me all those things. I'm not greedy. God already promised and He'd give it to me. So how can we consider, well, preacher, he just greedy. He wants everything. No, I just want the promises of God fulfilled in my life. You see, but the point is, God is not going to give you all these things if you're not doing all His things. See, too many people want the things without God. God, just give me the things. Okay? I'm one of yours. I'm a child of God. Just give me the things. Now you sound like the prodigal son. Hey, Dad, look here. How about give me my inheritance now because I got some partying I want to do? Huh? Hey, Dad, how about give me them things because I got some things I want to do? But see, God's not like the father of the prodigal son. God said, no, wait a minute. You want the things, you do my thing. You do it my way, and I'll give you the things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things will be added. And we're talking about preparing ourselves. In order to prepare ourselves, we have to know what the Word of God says. You can struggle through life and be born again, spirit-filled, and still struggle if you're not taking in that word every day. Taking in that word. Let me tell you, you all know what I've been through. I could not have gone through any of that without God. But it's because God was in me. I'm talking about the Word. So that when the attacks come, the Word is what comes out. No matter what it is. Amen? Glory to God. So we see here, John the Baptist is preparing the way. We need not only to expect a refining. Look what he says here. I want to read this again. He says, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You also have to understand that the Word of God says there are going to be those that are saved by fire. And what he's talking about is those people who are born again but are not doing the Word. Listen close to me now. Because God calls you chaff. He said you're going to be saved by the fire, but all your works is going to be burned up. All your works are going to be burned up. Your works are wood, hay, and stone. You know why? Because they represent earthly things. They are not eternal. Are you getting it? You see, we need to be focused on eternal things. Now, I want to talk about some fruits. What are the fruits? The Word of God says that you and I are to produce the fruits of righteousness. Well, what is the fruits of righteousness? Well, you had to go back and look. Who is the righteous? Jesus Christ. So what is His fruits? Well, the Word of God tells us. Love, peace, joy, hope, all those things that's listed out. those are the fruits. They ought to be apparent in our lives. People ought to see the love of God in us. People ought to see the peace of God in us. People ought to see the joy of the Lord in us. Those are the fruits of being righteous. When you are righteous, these are the fruits that your life produces. Now, there's other fruits. You know, it's just like we've got many kinds of fruits. You've got apples, peaches, oranges, bananas, grapes. You know, you can name hundreds of them. Well, it's the same in the Word of God. There's many different kinds of fruit. Witnessing produces fruit. Okay? It may not be peace, joy, love, so on and so forth, but it's a fruit of a different kind. And all of us are to be multiple fruit producers. Most farmers do not produce the same crop every year. Why? Because after you plant so many years of the same crop, it depletes the soil of the nutrients that it takes to grow. So the thing to do is plow it under and plant something different. So what that tells us is we need to be producing multiple kinds of fruit. Okay? Look at the life of Jesus. Jesus produced healings. Jesus produced deliverance. See, I'm talking about preparing yourself. If you don't know what you're supposed to be doing, how can you do it? You can't. And the only way that you and I know what we're to do and how we're to do it is by taking the Word. Because the Word tells us what we need to do, how we need to do it, and what our end results should be. Yeah. See, God doesn't leave anything up to you or I. He lays out the plan. Does not the Word of God tell us that He had a plan for us before the foundation of the world? See, God's already got it all laid out. What our responsibility is to get into the Word of God, find out what it is that we are best at when it comes to the kingdom of God, because all of us are not the same. Amen. All of us do not produce the same fruit. Brother Padgett, he's a soul producer. He's out there witnessing every day. He's handing out tracts. He's ministering the Word of God. He's producing fruit through witnessing. Others produce other kinds of fruit. But we all, that's why the Word of God says we're all needed in the body of Christ, because we all produce different kinds of fruit.
That's right.
And in the kingdom of God, we need all of them. So our request, what we need to do is find out what am I best at in the Word of God. God called me a pastor. I'm a teacher. I preach a little bit, but mainly I teach, because God showed me, He said, preaching doesn't do you any good if you don't teach people what to do, or how to do it, or when to do it. He said, so teach them. Teach them. Yeah. Every now and then I got to throw a little preaching in there just to keep you straight. Let you know where you're at. Yeah. See, we need not only to expect the refining fire of the Holy Spirit, but also to welcome the refining fire of the Holy Spirit as He prepares the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Through us. We're the hands and feet. We're the ones that, you know, people say, well, I'm just waiting on God. No, God's waiting on you. We want to see Jesus Christ come back. We want to see His coming. And we need to be busy about preparing things for His return. It's going to be a wedding feast. That's what it says in Revelation. Well, stop and think about this. Don't they prepare? Don't they rehearse? Don't they make sure everything is perfect, all the tables are set nice, everything's ready, man, because we're going to have a feast. Well, guess what? The bridegroom's coming. And it's up to you and I to prepare for his coming. It's up to us. See, just as John the Baptist prepared the way for the first coming of Christ, so the Holy Spirit is working in us and through us to prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The thing that's keeping God from telling Jesus, go bring my children home, is you and I. People say, well, what's delaying God? You know, the condition the world's in, Jesus ought to come back. But what are you doing to prepare for his return? Is the house in order? You see, you and I have to be partakers of this work. We have to take this work. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, the Word of God says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, there is no truth outside of the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm just going to tell it like it is. Man is a liar. What? You call me a liar? I'm telling you, you're a liar. Jesus said it. Jesus said, you're a liar and the truth's not in you if you're not abiding in this Word. Are you abiding in the Word? If you're abiding in the Word, then you're not a liar. You're a person of truth. Do you hold to the truth? Do you hold to the truth? When you hear people talking about, well, I think it's a woman's right. You know, she ought to be able to have an abortion anytime she wants to. Well, wait a minute. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says it's an abomination unto God to shed innocent blood. There's nothing more innocent than an unborn child. Oh, well, homosexuality is just a lifestyle. It's just another lifestyle. Not wrong. That's not the truth. That's not the truth. Once again, Romans, in the book of Romans chapter 1, it says that when a man will lay with a man or a woman will lay with a woman, is an abomination unto God, a sin that is worthy of death. Huh? It's not my words, that's what God said. That's what God said. But you see, we've got people today that are so eat up with demonic spirits that they think the Bible's out of date. We need to update the Bible. We need to change. There's things that need to be taken out and things that need to be reworked. No, this is the truth. This is the truth. And unless you hold to the truth, you're a liar. And the truth's not in you. Jesus said the only way that you can hold the truth is to abide in him and allow him to abide in you. Once again, Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus Christ. And so we have to have the Word in us. That's how he abides in us. Are you getting something here? You see, only by hearing the truth and acting upon the truth of his Word will you or I be prepared for his return. Without the Word of God, you will not know Jesus Christ. Because the Word will eliminate the falsehoods and the half-truths that many today are trying to shove down our throats. The fact that many who want to change or update the Bible should tell us where they're coming from. Their fleshly desires to have it their way instead of God's way. You and I need to accept the truth, make the necessary changes in our lifestyle, and be a doer of the Word of God. And that applies to those that are lost. They need to receive the granting of the Word of God to the place that faith that God placed in them. God says he's given to everyone the measure of faith. I believe that the measure of faith, when he says that, he's talking about a singular, the measure of faith, meaning singular, is that amount of faith that it takes to be born again.
Amen.
And then once you become born again, now you can increase your faith.
Amen.
No one is born again with a full level of faith. You have to grow, you have to mature into that faith. That's part of the preparation. That's part of the preparation. But thank God, God's not waiting on everybody to get to the highest level before Jesus comes back. If that was the case, somebody who is dying and calls on the name of Jesus, they'd be left out. No, the Word of God, they're saved just as much as you and I are saved. But those of us that are here, those of us that are living, those of us that are continuing on the Word of Jesus Christ, it is necessary for you and I to be partakers of this Word each and every day of our life. That's what Paul was telling us in Romans chapter 12. Renew your mind daily. Why? So that you can prove the perfect will of God.
Amen.
Without the Word of God, you won't do that. See, in John chapter 16 and verse 13, the Word of God says, however, when he speaks, the Spirit of truth has come. Talking about the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. Now, I want to focus in on something right here. He says here, look at this. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. Let me ask you something. If the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, doesn't speak on his own authority, but speaks of that which Jesus tells him, what right do you have to speak on your own authority? Whose authority? You see, God has given you and I authority here on this earth. But it is not our authority, it's his authority. And so when we speak, we ought to be speaking the Word of God. Does not the Word of God tell us that our conversations are to be edifying, encouraging, and uplifting? Stop and think back on some of your recent conversations. Have they been edifying, encouraging, and uplifting? But you low life, dirty, rotten. Not much edifying and encouraging there. Jesus says we're to love our enemies. You see, what we need to come to realization, what we need to come to understand, we only got one enemy. And that's God's enemy. God said, my enemy is your enemy, and your enemy is my enemy. Not enemies, enemy. Satan. Now he's got a lot of minions that he sends out. But guess what? We got a lot of Jesus running around here. Everybody that's born again is a Jesus. Because we've been endued with power from on high. Stop and think about this. The Word of God says, in the Spirit of God, ascended, talking about John the Baptist when he baptized Jesus Christ. He said, the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, not a dove, but like a dove. And Jesus was endued with power from on high, going around doing good and healing all manner of sickness and disease. He didn't do that until he was endued with power from on high. Then in the book of Acts, Jesus, talking to the disciples, hello, disciples. See, people say, all that went out with the disciple. Well, wait a minute, I'm a disciple. So it didn't go out. He came in. He came in to me. He came in to you. Talking about the Holy Spirit, the power of God.
Amen.
And so now we've been endued with power from on high. just like Jesus was endued with power from on high. See, so many people would say, oh, but he was the Son of God. Hello, son and daughter of God. Scratch that off. That's eliminated. Oh yeah, Jesus did all that stuff because he was the Son of God. Your sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
So you need to be doing it too.
Amen.
Oh, but pastor, I don't. Wrong. Lord God says we can do all things through God. I'm going to show you in the Word. See, you thought I was joking when I told you I was going to keep you to the restaurant. We're just getting started. This is just the introduction to the message. Glory to God. Woo, you better pray over that pot roast. Send an angel, turn that oven off. Glory to God. Yeah. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. You see, without the Holy Spirit, you and I would have a tendency to not understand the truth. But with the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he'll lead and guide you into all truth. And you see, you and I cannot be a hindrance when it comes to knowing the truth. What do I mean by that? Well, bless God, I just don't believe in that healing stuff. I tried it one time. I prayed for God to heal my grandma. My grandma died. I don't believe in that healing. You probably didn't believe in it when you prayed. With that attitude, you probably didn't believe it when you prayed it. You prayed in desperation, not in faith. See, there's a big difference, and most churches won't get it because they don't want to offend anybody or hurt anybody's feelings. I can't help it. If you're offended or if your feelings are hurt, that means you don't want to accept the truth. You see, prayers of desperation doesn't work. What works is prayer of faith.
Amen.
That's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says prayer of the righteous, prayer of faith shall heal the sick and save the lost. The prayer of faith. So, once again, we need to understand we're people of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And see, we can't be a hindrance. We've got to be a yielded vessel, willing to be cleansed, to be made pure and holy. See, God has made us his righteousness, so we're already righteous. All you did to become righteous was receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, let me break that down for you. Jesus is the righteousness of God.
Amen.
And so when we asked him to come into our hearts, the righteousness of God came into us and made us righteous. Why? Because he is in us.
Amen.
Now, one of the things we have to do to prepare ourselves is learn how to live holy.
Amen.
See, there's a difference between being holy and being righteous. Being righteous means we have the righteous one in us. And we receive Jesus Christ. That made us righteous. Now, through the Word of God, we learn how to be holy. And holy is not what most church folks think it is. Yeah. To be holy is to be separated. Jesus said, separate yourself from the world. And what he was talking about is separate yourself from the worldly ways. Separate yourself from the ways you used to do things.
That's right.
Separate yourself from the way you used to think.
Right.
Separate yourself from the way you used to talk. Separate yourself from the way that you used to act. And then he says, through my word, I'll show you how you should talk. I will show you how you should walk.
Yeah.
I will show you how you should conduct your life so that my righteousness shows forth from you. When he talks about let your light shine, he's talking about that light of righteousness.
Amen.
See, and that is what makes you whole. Did you get that?
Yes.
Okay. So to live holy simply means we make a transformation from our old lifestyle to the new lifestyle. The Word of God tells us the old man has died. So if the old man has died, then we should no longer live like the old man. We are a new creature in Christ. And because we are a new creature in Christ, now we have a new life or new lifestyle. I live different. I talk different.
Amen.
I conduct myself different. And I put away those childish things because now I become a man. Really, what we should say is I become a God man. Yeah. You see, we need to be doing what the Word of God says to do. How many of us understand that when the Word of God says, I'll just use this as an illustration because it's a good one, says, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, let them anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of righteousness.
Amen.
And you shall be healed. Oh, well, I'll just pray for myself. Well, that sounds real religious. That sounds real good. But is it what the Word of God says? No. Saying it's the little things. What did Jesus say? Didn't Jesus tell us it's the little foxes that spoil the vine? It's the little things that we do or don't do that makes the big difference. Do you see that? Glory to God. Where was it? Hallelujah. Talking about living holy, living pure. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Word of God reads here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. As His divine power, hello, has given to us all things, talking about what? The Holy Spirit. Where does divine power come from? Comes from the Holy Spirit. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, look how? Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let me tell you something. When you are in the world as a Christian, if you are living like the world, you're living according to the lust of the world.
That's right.
But the Word of God says we have been able to escape from that. What does He mean by that? He means this. He means that now you and I have a better way of living in this world that will be in contradiction to the world's ways and will be an example for the world that there's a better way. That there is a better way. And what is that? We have exceeding great and precious promises that makes us partakers of the divine nature. People say, "Hey, you're not God. I can't be like God." Well, wait a minute. Yes, you can. Jesus Himself said that it's not wrong to be like your teacher. You'll never be your teacher, but there's nothing wrong being like your teacher. Jesus is our teacher, so we can be like our teacher. We can do the same things that he does. Why? For you and I, it's because he's in us. Our teacher is in us. And so when we do, it's him doing through us. And we have partaken of the divine nature. We have become God-like. Oh, Pastor, you're saying what? Yes, I am. We have become God-like. You may not look like God, but the Word of God says if you take that Word, if you take that Word and partake of it every day, every day, every day, you become more and more like God. You become more and more like God. You know what will happen? There'll be a change in how you talk. There'll be a change in how you walk. There'll be a change in the way you conduct yourself. Why? Because you have prepared yourself. You see, what God is waiting on to send Jesus back is for God to be able to look down and see a bunch of Jesus. Yeah. God wants to look down at you and see Jesus. Look at you and see Jesus. Look at you and see Jesus. Look at you and see Jesus. Each and every one of us. How's he going to see that? Because we're doing the same thing that Jesus did.
Amen.
We're laying hands on the sick and we're seeing them recover. We're casting out demons. We're laying hands on the dead and raising them up. We're blessing one another. We're walking in the love of God. That love, that unconditional love. We love one another unconditionally, just like Jesus loves us. See, when God sees that, he says, now it's time. Look at the division simply in the body of Christ. You think God established all these different denominations, all these different churches? No. The Word of God talks about one church. His church. In other words, what he's saying is we all ought to be one mind, one spirit, one accord. Saying the same thing, doing the same thing, looking the same. It's going to happen one day. But it'll be God. You know what it's going to take? Going to take revival.
Amen.
How does revival come about? Starts with the individual. That's right. You have to hunger and thirst for revival. You have to want. God said to those that diligently seek. Diligently means to labor. And for you and I, that means laboring in prayer, laboring in fasting. Getting on our face before God. Setting aside the cares of this world. And crying out to God. Are we ready to do that? See, when we prepare ourselves, our hunger will grow to the place that we want nothing more than God. There's nothing more important to us. There's no one more important to us. It's just God. You know why? You know why we see such miraculous miracles when we go on the mission field? Seeing the power of God raise the dead, seeing the power of God heal broken arms, watching them set right there in your hands. Seeing demons come out, being cast out. Of children, out of teenagers, and out of men and women. You know why we see that on the mission field? Because they hunger and thirst after the things of God. Because they don't have all the luxuries, all the niceties that we have here that we depend on. When you tell them God wants to heal you, man, they're ready. What do I got to do? What do I got to do? Here, I'm not just talking about here in the Living Faith Church, I'm talking about here in the United States of America, the most blessed nation in the world. I come down here, I say, if there's sickness or anything in your body, come on up here and let me anoint you and lay hands on you, and we'll watch God be God. He was just sitting there. So I had to assume that everybody's well. I say, if you got something going on in your life, your finances, your relationship, your job, whatever, if you need prayer, come on up. We'll anoint you with oil. We'll pray. We'll see God move in your life. Everybody just sits there. I say, if you got something on your heart, if God has put something on your heart, the altar's open. You can come up here. You can get on your knees. You don't have to come to me. You can go straight to God. Just come up here and get on the altar before God and pour out your heart to God. It would just sit there. You know what it is? It's pride.
Right.
I'll take care of it. We, what are you going to tell God when Jesus comes back? I want you to remember the 10 virgins. 10 virgins. Everybody knows the story. Five prepared. Had their lamps trimmed. Had their oil, extra oil. Five. They come to church all the time. They're there every time the doors are open. They didn't bring anything. The greatest disappointment was they didn't take out anything. They just come in, went out. Came in, went out. Didn't bring anything in, didn't take anything out. And so when the bridegroom come, five of them was ready because they had prepared. Five of them. Oh, wait a minute. Let me have some of your oil. No. You had the same opportunity when you was coming in and going out to receive that oil. You had your opportunity every time. You was there every time the door was open. But you never brought anything in. You never took anything out. And so when the bridegroom came, five was ready because they prepared. Five. Church folks, let me tell you something. That is the greatest demonstration, illustration of a rapture that you will ever see, that you will ever hear. Because there, listen to me, there are church folks sitting in churches today that's going to be sitting in churches after the rapture. Wondering what happened. How come I didn't do it? Because they didn't prepare. They were too busy. They were too caught up in the cares and the concerns of this world. They weren't prepared. They didn't prepare themselves. You see, those five, they took it upon themselves to prepare. They went and got oil. They went and trimmed their lamps. You know, when I stop and think about it, the other five, they probably turned their wicks up. They burn up that oil quick. That's how we live today. Fast. Bright. Folks, I got news for you. Darkness is coming. If your lamp is not trimmed, if you don't have extra oil, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the Word of God. The Word of God is what fuels our light. That's what that illustration is about. Do you have enough word in you that the light shines forth? See, that's all in preparation. That's all in preparing yourself. You see, what you and I need to do, we need to come to the place that we're willing to be like Jesus. And that is to completely align our lives and our will with the Father. That's what Jesus did. Not my will, but thy will be done. You see that? When you do that, when from a repentant heart, from a love of God. What you're doing when you say that, not my will, but thy will be done in my life. You see, I can't even say in her life.
That's right.
I can only deal with me. Each and every one of us is an individual. We have to get to that place that it's no longer my will, but thy will. Thy will be done in my life. In my life. When we do that, that's your total allegiance to the Father's word and his commands. It also shows that we respect God. We honor God. Listen to me. Just as Jesus said this, he disapproved of any attitude that would reduce respect for or teach less than full obedience to the entirety of God's revealed word. You can't pick and choose, folks. You can't pick and choose. And I know some's thinking, oh, but Pastor, it's too hard. It's too hard to live according to that word. No, it's not. It's easy. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. Yeah, it might be a little hard starting off because your flesh didn't want to go. It's not wanting to do it. I just don't want to do it. But that's why you're to be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And you see, Matthew 19 and 26 says, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. And the question, do you believe the word? Do you believe the word? You see, where we are, and I say we, the majority, there's things in the word we believe, and then there's things in the word we're not real sure of. And then there's things in the word, I just don't believe that. You know what that is? That's a wavering man. And what happens to a wavering man? The word of God says he's full of doubt, and therefore he can expect to receive nothing. I say that again. And he can expect to receive nothing from God. You want to check yourself out? Very simple. Are you receiving from God? Are you receiving knowledge? Are you receiving wisdom? Are you receiving peace? Are you receiving direction? Are you receiving guidance? Or does God seem so far away that you can't hear him? See, it's up to each of us as an individual. Each of us as an individual. Dedicate our lives to submit our lives to his will. Folks, I'm going to tell you, being born again is not enough. What? Being born again is not enough. Oh, you go to heaven. Because the word of God said, everybody who calls on his name will be saved. But don't you want to please God? Don't you want to be a blessing to God? The one who created you, the one who loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, sent him to suffer and die a horrendous death so that you could be saved. Don't you want to be pleasing unto him?
Yes.
Don't you want to be grateful and thankful? I do. How we do that is by submitting to his will. Allowing his will to become our will. Not the other way around. We don't pray, God, may my will be your will. No, may your will be my will. May I take upon me your will to live my life according to your word. Amen. Look at what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. Reading here from the New King James Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." He's talking about the truth. Living and teaching the truth. Do you understand each and every one of us are teachers of our faith simply by the life that we live? See, that's all part of the preparation. That's all the part of preparing ourselves. In John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus declares that the knowledge of the Scriptures is the pathway to knowing Him. You will not know Jesus without this, because this is Jesus. There's no other way. When Jesus said, "I am the truth, the light, and the way," He's talking about this word right here. Without this word, I don't know how people can come to church without a Bible. I know some use their phones. That's okay, as long as you got the word. But how do you live without the word? There is no life in Christ Jesus without the word of God, because He is the word. And Jesus then fulfilled the commandments and left us with one great commandment that's found in John chapter 15, verse 12. I'm getting ready to close here as praise team comes. John chapter 15, verse 12. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." That's the commandment. You know why? Because if we'll do that, all the others will be taken care of. All the others will be taken care of. If we love one another. That doesn't mean pick and choose who you love. It doesn't mean, well, depending on the color of your skin, I'll love you. Or depending on where you come from, I'll love you. If you're like me, I'll love you. No, I love you because God first loved me. That's the reason I love you. Not because you're good to me. Not because you do things for me. I love you because God first loved me. You see, that's the only way that you and I can love one another, is when we make up our mind, when we make a determination that I'm going to love you because God first loved me. Now, that takes everything that you can do or say out of the equation. Takes it out of the equation. I've determined within my mind that I will not be offended or be an offense. Amen. Because I love you. And if I do offend, then I want to know it so that I can repent and ask for forgiveness. Because I do not want any unforgiveness in my heart. In the next verse, verse 13, Jesus lays it out in simple terms. In verse 12, He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And then in the very next verse, He said this: "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." You are my friends if you do whatever I command. Makes it pretty simple, doesn't it? See, the things of God is not hard. They're not a mystery to those who are hungry and thirsty, to those who are diligently seeking after. Jesus makes it very plain, very simple. You see, we need to prepare ourselves by allowing the Holy Spirit of God to lead us into all the truth. Folks, that's His job. That's His assignment. Christ, to lead and guide us into all truth. You know what ours is? Ours is simply to obey. Simply to obey the word of God. To do the word of God. Amen. To start off with, the first thing that you need to obey is if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and be Lord and Savior of your life, you need to do that today. Folks, I'll tell you, today is the day of salvation. You may not have it tomorrow. You may be making great plans. But I put you in remembrance of the rich farmer. He said, I've got so much. All my barns are full. I'll tear down these small barns, and I'll build bigger barns. And I'll fill them up, and I'll relax, and I'll sit back, and I'll enjoy. God said, oh, foolish man, if only you knew that your very soul would be required of you this night. See, you're not guaranteed it tomorrow. But if you'll receive Jesus Christ, if you'll ask Jesus to come into your heart and be Lord and Savior of your life, you're guaranteed eternity with God. Eternal life. Living in the presence of God forever. Folks, there's no better place to be. There's no better place to be than in the presence of Almighty God. So I encourage you, as the praise team sings this song, as I come down, if you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, come and do that now. If you're watching out there on the live stream, you can do it right there where you're at. All you have to do is repeat this simple little prayer. Father God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need Jesus Christ. Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord and Savior of my life. If you'll say that and believe it in your heart, the Word of God says, if you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. If you do that, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us, you can send us text, you can call us, you can go to our website. There's many ways to contact us. Amen.